From KCRW, I'm Kim Masters, and this is The Business. As protests continue across the country and around the world, we talk about a topic very much under discussion right now, the way policing is depicted on television. Dream Hampton, the executive producer of Surviving R. Kelly, has spent years thinking about that and worked on a recent report on the issue. It found that often even good cops are shown trampling the rules, and that's presented as heroism. But when that kind of policing happens in real life, the consequences can be tragic.
Breonna Taylor was just killed. The police barged in her apartment, guns drawn, after midnight with a no-knock warrant. This is a storyline we have seen in a show like 24 all of the time.
Then Dan Taberski made a podcast devoted to the reality show Cops. What he found was disturbing. Taberski also looked at the show's spiritual successor, Live PD. Last year, that show's cameras rolled as officers patrolled in Williamson County, Texas.
A man didn't dim his headlights. They chase him, they tase him, they kill him. And it's all filmed by a television show. Were they chasing that man at 1:30 in the morning because it was good policing, or were they chasing him because it was good television?
Now, with Cops canceled, we talk again with Taberski. But first on the News Banter, can Hollywood rise to this moment? Stick around. It's The Business from KCRW. I am joined by my colleague in banter, Matt Bellany. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
So, Matt, this week on the show, you know, we are talking about the way cops are portrayed on TV. And this is part of a broader discussion in Hollywood about race and racism. Hollywood tends to think of itself and be seen as liberal, but take a closer look. And what we see is, first of all, just dealing with this issue of cops, you know, schedules that are packed with cop shows depicting cops as heroes. And we see all sorts of programming out there that has been sort of mindlessly sent into the world. We saw HBO Max this week pull Gone with the Wind. And Gone with the Wind, you know, it's been controversial for years. It's really, I would say, propaganda glamorizing the old South. And it's a complicated issue. People have a lot of ideas and opinions about Gone with the Wind. But ultimately, it's a defense of the old South, which is built on slavery. So it will be back with some context, HBO Max tells us. You know, and it wasn't, I don't think it was that gracefully handled. They pulled it first and then and said it would be back later, and people got up in arms. But the point is, this is part of a much broader examination of what Hollywood has been putting out there, who runs Hollywood, and why this has been not really thought about for a long time, despite the fact that the most recent protests are hardly the first.
And another thing complicating this issue is that a lot of this content is really popular. If you look at A&E, the cable network, they just canceled their most popular show, Live PD, which is a reality verite police arresting suspects show. And they had recently ordered 160 episodes of that show, an unheard of number. Now it's gone. Cops, gone. If you look at the broadcast networks, which mostly are the ones that air these police procedurals, the top 10 most watched shows of the most recent season, a bunch of those are police procedurals. NCIS, FBI, Blue Bloods, Chicago PD. I mean, these shows are popular. And then, of course, talking about Gone with the Wind, adjusted for inflation, Gone with the Wind is the highest grossing film of all time.
Yes, and these shows are predominantly produced by white men, bought by network executives who are predominantly white men. So this is a problem. We talk about Live PD with our guest today, Dan Taberski, who made the Cops podcast. It had not been canceled when we talked to him, but it is now. And one of the central issues, as we talk about in this interview, is this episode in Austin, Texas, where they filmed somebody being apprehended by the cops and actually who died as they shot. And it's been very controversial that they now say they were told the investigation was resolved and nothing bad happened. So therefore, they destroyed this footage. And the host of that show, Dan Abrams, said he was really shocked that the show was canceled and that it was meant to be about transparency. But as you'll hear, you know, the question is, these cops are regulars and they have a following. And did they need to pursue this guy? Because the whole issue in that situation in Austin was that his brights were on and it ended up in death of another black man.
You know, and I think maybe all of these protests and all of what we're seeing in the culture right now is causing a shift. If you look at the New York Times nonfiction bestseller list this week, all 10 titles are about racism or race consciousness or, you know, race-oriented content. So clearly there is something afoot in this country. There is change going on, and whether it will trickle down to the content that's coming out of Hollywood, that is the big question coming forward.
Yeah, Hollywood needs to step up, I think. It's been a very, very long time, this change, if it is in fact coming. Meanwhile, let me pivot to the business of Hollywood, which is trying desperately to reopen. And we see there was a white paper on protocols that was a collaborative effort on the part of most of the guilds and the studios and the streamers, you know, everybody trying to figure out how to do this. It feels to me a lot at this moment like blind man's bluff or blind person's bluff. People groping and not really knowing what will work, whether talent will agree to do X, Y, or Z. We're seeing people trying to figure out how to even write television or movies right now, because love scenes seem borderline impossible. You know, crowd scenes. This is just a huge problem for the industry. California has said, go ahead. It's unclear how that's going to work. You know, and we're seeing Disneyland say they're going to reopen with limited capacity on July 17th. So there's this energy to push forward. And at the same time, cases of, you know, coronavirus infection keep going up.
Yeah, this is a microcosm of what's going on in the larger world, where people seem to have decided that despite the number of cases going up, the world must go on and we must reopen. And if that's the case, okay, well, then what are the consequences going to be? Because, you know, you can reopen Disneyland, but when you are producing content and putting employees in a potentially risky situation, there will be consequences for that if people start to get sick. And I think a lot of people within the industry are scared. They may be getting the green light from their studios and their networks to say, oh, we're back open. But I think a lot of people are really scared right now, and nobody knows what's going to happen. That's the scariest and riskiest thing.
Yeah, and we still have the lingering issue of things like insurance. You know, people who are employers are looking for defense legally against lawsuits from customers, and that would include movie theaters. I mean, we're still waiting to see. Theaters are supposed to open this weekend at 25% capacity. Are people going to go?
Yeah, and I think it's going to be gradual through the month of June, and I don't think it's going to be until July. You know, the coronavirus unemployment ends at the end of July. And I think a lot of people in Hollywood have taken advantage of that, rightfully so. So I think people are going to look at that deadline coming up, and it's going to influence whether productions start up then, because then it's going to be, we have no employment, no income, and let's get back to work. And people might be willing to take a little bit more of a risk.
Ugh, what a terrible choice to have to make. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, former editorial director of The Hollywood Reporter. Dream Hampton was our guest on The Business last year to talk about her Lifetime documentary series, Surviving R. Kelly. That project just won a Peabody. I serve on the jury. And R. Kelly, he's in jail awaiting trial. Now Hampton is working on a documentary series about the race massacre in an area of Tulsa known as Black Wall Street nearly 100 years ago. She also worked on a report on TV's scripted crime genre from USC's Norman Lear Center and the nonprofit civil rights group Color of Change. Hampton is a member of the board. That report, Normalizing Injustice, looked at 26 crime series from the 2017 and 18 TV seasons. The conclusion? These shows put forward a false hero narrative about police. Even if you're not a fan of crime shows, Hampton says you don't have to binge a Law and Order marathon to see cops portrayed as heroes.
It's not just police procedurals. There's not a show that I love and watch that doesn't have police as a character. I mean, even True Blood, a campy, fun show about vampires, there was a sheriff's department and there were two major characters who were police officers. Right now I'm watching Peaky Blinders and Killing Eve. And of course, either the major character is a police officer or there's a huge police narrative built into it. So while this report is focused very narrowly on police procedurals, I would argue that if one were to survey their favorite shows in any given moment, that this isn't just about the Law and Order marathons that your grandmother might have on when you go visit her, or CBS and all of their programming, which is like 80% criminal justice procedurals. But it's like everything that we watch. I argue that the police is the most developed character on television.
Why do you think that character is so dominant in the culture on TV?
My theory, and this is not connected to the study, but is that, I mean, in 1970, Kent State, there were protesters, white protesters, anti-war protesters that were killed by National Guard. And I think that that around the time with Nixon, if you were to survey the average American and ask them about their trust in authority, that the answer would be, we don't trust them that much. And at that time, we had I Dream of Jeannie, Brady Bunch, Mary Tyler Moore. You did have Bonanza. You did have Hawaii Five-O. I mean, I'm looking at the top shows from 1970, right? Mm-hmm. But many shows did not have police characters at all. And so I'm saying that there was actually a campaign by law authority. I mean, a law, you know, by their different agencies, and they have a super powerful unions.
Yeah, they rehab their image is what you're saying, and deliberately rehab their image.
Yeah, they realized that the average American no longer trusted authority. And I believe that there was a real concern. And that's a study that I would love to one day do if I had like a third life. But with this study, with normalizing justice, yeah, we looked at 26 police procedurals in the 2017-2018 season. And, you know, the findings revealed a serious and systemic problem.
81% of the showrunners were white men. Mm-hmm. That might be one. Several shows had no Black writers at all. Mostly, yeah. Overwhelmingly, the writers were white. You know, a couple of things I am seeing myself through a different lens. Like, it is accepted by many people that The Wire is the greatest show in the history of television. But the critics at The Hollywood Reporter did a conversation recently, and they basically said they couldn't get through it because of the accepted conduct of the cops that was, you know, police brutality. Do you find that you are reevaluating stuff like that, or did you always see it as an issue?
You know, I grew up in Detroit. I'm a teenager in the 80s, so I'm rooting for the drug dealers. I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Like, the anti-hero is probably my jam. So, no, I didn't think that The Wire was the greatest show in television. This report is called Normalizing Injustice for just that reason, Kim. The things that, as you rewatch this, were flagged for you, you know? These television shows, in their narrative, constantly justify the cutting of corners, the throwing away of the Constitution. And this has real world impact. We're talking about George Floyd in this moment. You know, this idea that he had, which is exactly what Stacey Coons argued in 92, when he was on trial in Simi Valley for Rodney King, that he had to get him on the ground. That's exactly what the police officers who brutalized Rodney King said in their trial, that their big thing was about keeping him on the ground. So I have no doubt that Derek Chauvin, in his mind, as he was killing in this almost 9-minute, you know, video that we all watched, that he was doing whatever was necessary to keep this big Black man on the ground. Right. This big Black man who wasn't resisting arrest, who was calling out for his mother. They're calling these in the media the George Floyd protests, but the protesters know that, you know, Black people in particular have been experiencing police violence and terror for generations. So I don't know what it will take for white America to kind of understand that policing is out of control and, as it stands, needs to be abolished. But I can tell you that a part of why people so identify with the police is because we are fed police narratives ceaselessly.
Well, so what is the answer to make it not such a huge problem? Is it, how do you push Hollywood off of that partnership? You know, certain networks, CBS, that's practically their, you know, their diet is shows like that.
I mean, one solution, if you can't just pivot away. And I do believe in a moratorium in police program. I feel like, I mean, there came a time, you know, when Hollywood said, you know, we've kind of done the vampire thing. Let's pivot to zombies. You know, I mean, we've never, we haven't had a fireman trend that can like compete with the policeman trend. We haven't had 30 years of fireman shows. But, you know, so I'm calling, as a lot of people are, for a moratorium on police shows, on cop shows. But say you are going to continue doing these cop shows, then we can bring experts into the room who, with data, not just anecdotal evidence, can talk to you about what the criminal justice system actually does, what it actually looks like, what DAs actually do.
So my colleagues at The Hollywood Reporter, Leslie Goldberg and Dan Feinberg, did a conversation with Warren Light, who runs, is a showrunner on Law & Order SVU. And he talked a lot about trying to get diversity, trying to be sensitive. But there was one question when I listened that really stood out to me and the answer. So we're just going to play that clip for you.
Within the Dick Wolf Law & Order universe, it won't be likely that they're going to do a show that bases itself on cops behaving illegally. That's not part of Dick's brand. I think you have already, though.
Should it be, though, in your opinion?
In my opinion, it is not up to me to tell Dick what his brand should be.
So what's your reaction there?
You know, it's not just that the cops in Law and Order need to be depicted being bad cops. The kind of rigor that, like, Lenny, what he does when he goes from uptown to downtown and all across Manhattan to the Bronx, following these clues, that doesn't happen in police work. You know, police work mostly happens in an interview room. And what police mostly do all day is try to get witnesses to flip. That's what police work actually looks like. So there's a valorization of the police. There's a way that you are telling a story about police that isn't even accurate. So it's not about good or bad. Like, this isn't what their jobs are.
When you think about the power of a Dick Wolf with so many shows and spinoffs, and I don't know, have you guys, would you try to reach out to somebody like that and say, would you look at what you're doing?
Oh, absolutely. Dick Wolf is in the conversation. Most Americans understand our criminal justice system because of these kinds of television shows. And I mean, I'm also looking at models that have worked in the past, you know? So when it comes to justifying police misconduct, when it comes to throwing away the Constitution, one good example would be 24. You know, Breonna Taylor was just killed. This is an EMT worker who had been on the front lines. She was deemed an essential worker in this current pandemic. She was in bed at midnight. The police barged in her apartment, guns drawn, after midnight with a no-knock warrant. This is a storyline we have seen in a show like 24 all of the time. The bomb is ticking. You have to find the bad guys. Forget the rules. Throw out the rules. And in the shows that we looked at, we found that kind of storyline again and again.
In terms of the way Hollywood portrays cops, is this a moment where you think there is some change coming?
I do feel hopeful on that. Color of Change has been doing this work. We've been hosting salons, and we've had writers' rooms conversations and been invited into different writers' rooms. Nothing has felt like this moment. This is a moment when all kinds of studios are making all kinds of promises and declarations, and we have an opportunity to hold them to those. The people who work in the industry who didn't have much power all of a sudden get a chance to weigh in ways they never could. So yeah, I'm absolutely hopeful about this moment.
Filmmaker Dream Hampton was the executive producer of Surviving R. Kelly and will next direct Black Wall Street, a documentary series on the Greenwood District massacre in Tulsa. Thank you so much for joining us, Dream.
Thank you, Kim.
Coming up after a short break, podcaster Dan Taberski says while the show Cops has been canceled, it may be too little too late for people whose lives have been forever altered by such so-called reality shows. You're listening to The Business from KCRW.
Introducing the KCRW donation car, designed to be recycled. This first-of-its-kind vehicle will save you time, space, and hassle by disappearing. Enjoy the luxury and comfort of turning your underused car into a donation worth hundreds, even thousands of dollars. The KCRW donation car, already in your garage, driveway, or on cinder blocks outside your house. Act now at kcrw.com/cars.
This is The Business, and I'm Kim Masters. Dan Taberski talked with us last year about his podcast, Running From Cops, about the money-minting reality show.
We set up a team of six screeners to watch and analyze and catalog 846 episodes of Cops by crime, by type of crime, by race, by gender. We wanted to see what you couldn't notice by just watching an episode or two. And so that was one thing we were doing. And then the second thing we were doing is we were interviewing officers who had been on Cops. We were interviewing everybody, sound guys, camera guys, anybody who had a tangential connection to it. And then we were trying to find suspects who had been on the show.
Now Taberski is back with us to talk about the end of Cops and about its very successful alter ego, Live PD. In his podcast series, Taberski found several troubling things about cops. Police departments often got final say on what viewers did and didn't see. And people who appeared on Cops told Taberski their lives were much the worse for it and that they were never asked to sign releases. Above all, the show presented bad police tactics as effective.
If it ends up being cocaine, it'll have a blue or a blue over pink change to it. And that would be cocaine.
They never talk about the unreliability of the tests or whether it actually was cocaine.
Right, exactly. And so you see this arrest and you just assume that, you know, like in Cops, they say all suspects are innocent until proven guilty in the court of law, right? Like that's what the announcer says with a big husky voice at the beginning of every episode. And then everything else in the show is edited to point toward guilt. Like, nobody watches that show and thinks, yeah, they're probably innocent. For the most part, everybody seems guilty. You just assume. They're explaining away behavior. They look nervous. The cops look sure of themselves. The tests look definitive. And just in that one case, it's a case in Gwinnett County, Georgia, where it's a cocaine bust, and they show this really simple NIC test, easy peasy. And then we looked into it, and turns out it wasn't cocaine. And those people were arrested under wrongful conditions. And not only was it not cocaine, that episode aired a month after the state test came back saying it wasn't cocaine.
On June 9th, following weeks of protest against police misconduct, the Paramount Network canceled Cops. The next day, A&E dropped Live PD, its highest-rated series. When we talked to Dan, that last development had not happened yet. So we're talking to you as the news has just gone out that Cops has been officially canceled by the Paramount Network.
Yeah.
Which must feel, I don't know, how does it feel?
It feels good. I'm really excited. It's been 33 years in the making, and it was time for it to happen, and I'm glad it is. You feel bad that somebody's losing their job. But I got to say, after going and meeting all the people that I met on Live PD and on Cops who were on the shows without wanting to be on the shows, you kind of put them in the forefront of your mind as you're happier for them than you're sad for the producers.
Yes. And you did have a hard time initially tracking down people who were on the shows who didn't want to be on the shows. Did they seek you out after the podcast dropped?
Yeah, we got some people. We got a couple sources, I would say. I mean, a show like Live PD was super, super untransparent for a show that presents itself as being transparent. So after the podcast aired, we did get people coming out of the woodwork saying what we had gotten right, and sort of giving us more information, which just confirmed what we had already thought. So yeah, I mean, we did hear from people and still do.
Live PD, as you know, there was this recent article in the Austin American Statesman about this man who was stopped by a deputy sheriff in the Williamson County Sheriff's Department who is apparently a regular on Live PD.
Yeah.
They decided to chase this man who was driving home from a poker game because he didn't dim the headlights of his SUV when he was driving on the road. And for that, they did a whole chase. And ultimately, he was repeatedly tased. He said the words that resonate to everybody now: I can't breathe. He had congestive heart failure and he died. I mean, there's investigations that have gone on that was a bit of what appears to be a whitewash, if you excuse the expression, from the sheriff's department. The sheriff in Williamson County seems to love being on Live PD. He's been asked by the county to stop. He's not stopping. And they won't give up footage of this incident. It just feels that this is another version of what was happening before. And this is an incredibly egregious example.
Yeah, it's pretty shocking. I mean, it's not shocking that Live PD is not handing over the footage. Again, not super transparent for a show that frames himself as being transparent. But also, it's just traditionally really hard to get footage of reality shows. It's really hard to get them to sort of give it up, right? But I mean, it just begs the question, like, a man didn't dim his headlights. They chase him, they tase him, they kill him. And it's all filmed by a television show. And you just have to ask yourself, were they chasing that man because it was good policing? And it's really hard to say that high-speed chases in general are good policing. But were they chasing that man at 1:30 in the morning because it was good policing? Or were they chasing him because it was good television? And I think that's what comes up anytime you have a policing reality show. Anytime you're mixing something as serious as policing with something as dopey as entertainment.
Yeah, that certainly has been an allegation against the sheriff, Robert Chody. Critics say has chosen this cable show Stardom over public safety. I think they've changed policy on chases, but that came too late to help this person who they killed.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did it eclipse Cops? Is that you're more familiar with the world of these shows than I am. So did it end up being, you know, Son of Cops that was bigger than Cops?
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's definitely Son of Cops that was bigger than Cops. It's much, much bigger. I think Cops now is much more like the wallpaper. Like, it's on, you know, 15, sometimes 20 times a day still in reruns and in syndication. And it was just about to launch its 33rd, which is just insane to even say, its 33rd season this past Monday before they pulled it off the air. And I should also say, you know, in terms of the high speed chase, like, there was a case just a few months ago. A few counties over where Cops was following a sheriff's deputy in Bexar County, and there was a high-speed chase, and two bystanders were injured. And even the San Antonio police chief himself said that unequivocally that he believed the chase happened in part because Cops cameras were there looking for something to happen. So this is not an isolated incident. This is something that happens often. It's just the most egregious example of it. But it in small ways, it happens all the time in terms of an entertainment show turning policing into something other than policing.
I have never seen footage of live PD. I don't know how I missed it. Somehow wasn't tuned to A&E for that. But do the issues that plague Cops, you know, there were issues highlighted in your podcast about false positives for tests. I mean, obviously, we're saying the chases may have happened. What about some of these, the racial stuff that you spotlighted in your podcast about Cops?
We didn't go as deep into the data analysis with live PD, but it definitely became something different. It was clear that it is something different because it is much more popular. And it also did something different with fame and police, in that the police departments that are on it are less sort of anonymous police, and they're more like reality show stars. So just like Williamson County, they started in season three, and they love being on the show. And the officers that appear on the show, they appear every week. And the officers that appear on Live PD, I mean, they have fan clubs. And, you know, they have baseball cards made with their faces on them. And there are fan club meetings where they have thousands of people come and watch Live PD with the officers who are on the show. And they come to meet them and shake their hand and get their autograph. And especially when somebody like the officer that was in the car in Williamson County, when those start to be the pressures that are on you instead of doing good police work, when it's about potentially about fame and about making a good television show, you just have to wonder why they're doing what they're doing.
We're in this moment where people are seeing footage of Cops behaving, you know, like not the heroes. And I don't know whether you think that will change the way audiences perceive these shows?
Gosh, I mean, my thinking is that for a show like Cops, which is on all the time, and people don't like tune into the newest episode of Cops. They just watch it as background noise, right? So I don't think there's too much sort of challenging what you're looking at. I think people are sort of watching you for different reasons. My takeaway on Live PD is that this really does seem like an inflection point. And if it were ever going to, I mean, this might be the moment where at the very base, people decide that this is not something that they want from their police departments. So I do think it's possible, but it's going to take community pressure. But man, if this was ever the time for community pressure, it's now.
Dan Taberski is the host of the Headlong podcast, Running from Cops. Thank you again for joining us.
Yeah, so nice to talk to you again. Thanks.
And that's The Business. Caitlin Parker produced and edited today's program with help from Kevin Tidmarsh and Kat Yore. Paul Smith mixed the show. You can stream The Business as well as other great KCRW podcasts on the KCRW app. I'm Kim Masters. We'll see you next week on The Business. All right.